Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Redskins insider here from 106.7 The Fan, but he was at the Nats game last night. What were your observations at the Nats game? I saw you tweeted about the attendance.
Yeah. Good morning, fellas.
Hello, Rooster.
Yeah, you know, listen. Yeah, cock-a-doodle-doo. I hate to beat up on fans. I rarely do because it's absurdly expensive to
do
go
it,
to these
Rooster.
Games.
Do it. Unload on them.
It's just disappointing after Strasburg says what he says the other night. I don't know if you guys saw that, but I tweeted that right after that. Okay, and that was not a hard shot, but that was a soft blow to the midsection is what I would say to the Nats fan base, right? And maybe he was talking just directly about the Mets because he did kind of refer to that. But that was the talk of all weekend long, Citi Field, on both the Mets and the Nationals broadcast in both clubhouses. Everywhere, three really competitive games, but how juiced up the crowd was. And then you come home, and I know it's the Reds, I got it, but you're leading the wild card, and I know it's a Monday night, and some kids went back to school yesterday, got it, and there's 22,000 announced, and if we're being honest with you, my guess, I don't know this for sure, because I didn't take official count, but there was probably no more than 17 or 18 in the building at any point last night, so it's just kind of disappointing to not have that energy, that juice, that buzz, that feel of these games are now really important. This is not May anymore. This is August, and you're also not five games under 500. You're leading the wild card.
You're right, but, I mean, it's D.C. This is D.C. Yep. I mean, we only get up for big games, and these games are meaningful, but if the fan base doesn't perceive them to be particularly huge, they got other things to do. They got plenty of other options.
And it's also, and Chris, you know this, it's if you live in Northern Virginia or Montgomery County, it's a pain in the ass to get down.
Absolutely.
Here. I mean, it takes forever.
It's so easy and so convenient to watch the game from home on your couch.
Now, if you live in the Navy Yard, you walk two blocks. But
that's why I don't regularly bash the Nationals fans. Think I hate them. It's just so absurdly untrue. I'm just saying, like, and it's, you guys know this, right? Because you guys have been doing this for a long time. It's not just, 22,000. It's if those 22,000 are raucous EPL soccer type, they're into the food and they're into the potato, the poutine and whatever the hell they're serving there. And baseball is next.
Yeah, that was served one day when they did the Expos bit.
I know. I'm just, you know me. I'm coming up with different things to try and make this entertaining as we talk about why people don't go to the ballpark or why the juice isn't there. And again, the people go the NATS, Nats, woo, 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 great. That's awesome. And they do the Baby Shark and the Papa Shark and all that. That's tremendous. But that's the only, that's like the only time you hear them.
They're 16th in Major League Baseball in attendance, I believe.
You know what? At its best,
that's what they are.
At its best, the Nats, they're a tepid fan base. It's just what they are.
I mean, it's not to bash them. It is what it is.
No, it's the reality of the situation. And I'm sure the learners know that. Now, listen, the learners can do more, quite honestly. Right? I talked about this with Chad yesterday. I mean, the learners can do different things to market. The learners can do different things outreach-wise. The learners can do different things with pricing to really give their team, their players, that hopefully the best chance at an electric atmosphere.
Well,
again, it's not just the name, the number. It's the feel and the palpable buzz in the ballpark that I think the players are missing.
Isn't that one thing that the Mets did do? Didn't they have some sort of like ticket discount? And that's one of the reasons why they were
like
so
$7 or $8. I mean, you guys know I grew up in New York. I mean, I went to a ton of games at Chase Stadium, and I've only been to Citi Field once in the 10 years that it's been around. That place is half dead half the time. This is not New York is so much better than Washington or anything like that, like people think it is. New York is much more passionate about baseball than Washington is. There's no question about that. But when you get when you do different things, when you recognize the moment, and again, I would say they recognize the moment, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, division rival, wild card, in chase, Stroman, big pitching matchups, all that, that was recognizable, and they hit it to a T. I don't know, like when the Mets come back here, I think it's Labor Day weekend or right around there, guys, there can be 10,000 Mets fans here. I don't know if that, the Nationals fans that are here will be loud. They'll be loud. I think, I hope, but there'll be a lot of, you know, there'll be a lot of Mets cross divide, I guess.
Well, you know when it's going to be loud at Nats Park when they're playing a one game wild card.
Yeah, right, correct.
And Max Scherzer is on the mound against whoever.
And those are great atmospheres. We've been in these playoff games before. They're unbelievable.
But you're just not going to see
unless it's against the Mets or the Phillies, and then there'll be a lot of the opposition.
You're right. It's just not going to be like that.
I don't know.
Like you
said. I think on playoff time, the Nats fans will represent.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Once the playoffs come around, they'll show up.
Well, he's saying unless they play the Nats or you know, the Phillies or Mets, and then they're going to be somewhat overrun by them.
No,
I don't think so.
If they're playing the Cubs or you know even the Brewers, yeah, they'll be filled.
I think it'll be filled.
Oh, it'll be filled. Yeah. Yeah,
I think it'll be filled, and I think there'll be a ton of Nats fans here, even if they play the Phillies.
But I'm just not surprised that. You know, there's only 18,000-19,000 there on a Monday night against the Reds.
And that's just my guess. They announced 22.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's just my guess.
They're 16th
that we know the announced
in Major League Baseball in attendance. Yeah. That's what they are.
Yeah,
right?
middle of the pack.
Average. Below average.
Yep.
You know, essentially. All right, let's get to the Redskins, the Trent Williams situation. Not really any new news, except that some of the national guys are starting to chime in. Adam Schefter tweeting that Washington has told multiple teams that they're not trading Trent Williams. And they haven't flinched. Teams have repeatedly called, but so far the Redskins, according to Trent, to Adam, they're not even listening to those calls yet.
Yeah, that's been the message all along, right? So, and oh, by the way, I know this is going to shake people to their core. I agree with the Redskins; they shouldn't trade them right now. Right now. And that's the key right now.
You agree with the Redskins, Rooster?
Yes, Cakes. Believe it or not. Yes, I mean, sound the alarm bell. Send the smoke signals to old Brucey, baby, over there. Now that the boys are back at Ashburn, you know, maybe they can actually listen to what I say 100% of the time instead of 3% of the time and think that I hate them to no end. But anyway, yes, I agree with the Redskins right now. Right now being the key. Now, a week and a half from now, 2 weeks from now, boys, I'll be singing probably a different tune because I do think they have a major problem here, and I think you guys think they have a major. I don't want to say I think for you, but I think everybody realizes that Trent seems principled here, and for whatever his reason, the medical, the money, I think it's a combination of both. I think money can solve it, but it's not going to be like, you know, like, oh, here's $5. Let's get together and sing Kumbaya. No, this is a lot of money that Trent is going to need to solve his anger and his frustration. And I would just say this again. People laugh at me about this. They laughed at me when I suspected that Trent was mad about the Jaron Christian thing, and that turned out to be true. I would say this. Trent is speaking from more than just Trent here. Trent is not the only voice. He's the voice that can carry the message, and he's the most influential and important voice. Trent is not just speaking for Trent here.
How about Josh Doctson liking Sir Craven's comments on Twitter?
It's tasty.
How crazy is Josh?
Well, he knows he's out the door. It doesn't matter.
He might not even make it through this season, quite honestly. I mean, remember, we had the cut down of 53. Lots of guys lose their jobs. Lots of guys get traded. And then the trade deadline, right? There's no guarantee that Josh Doctson is going to be, especially if McLaurin is as good. And I've tried to sing the tune of the wide receiver group and McLaurin. Lauren specifically all along. I guess he's even better than I thought he was. But they seem to love McLaurin and Cam Sims and Robert Davis. Now, listen, will all of these guys show up and ball out in the regular season? I have no idea. I mean, they've got to prove it. They got to stay healthy. It doesn't seem like there's any shine left on Josh Doctson, and he may know, look, get me the hell out of here. Get me to Dallas. Get me wherever I've got to go so I get home.
Do you get any sense that Trent, at the end of the day, we'll waver on this and just say, you know what? I can't pass up the $11 million.
I think he's going to be there week one. I think he's going to just sit out all of training camp, all the preseason, and he's not going to miss $700K a week. I'm sorry, he's just not.
I do think he would be willing to cave. I just think this is not me reporting. I think he'll be principled enough to skip week one. Because if you're Trent Williams, and I get it, you don't want to go to Richmond, you don't want to go to training camp, you want to make a stand, I got it. But like at some point, if you're really principled, and I think Trent Williams is really principled about this, and again, I think he's speaking for more than just Trent,
yeah.
Then you have to, if you really, really want to send a message for now and the future, then you have to miss at least week one. You have to do basically what Aaron Donald did 2 years ago, and now he reported to the Rams just before week one, but he was in no way, shape, or form ready to play in week one, and he didn't. He returned week two against the Redskins, ironically, in McVay's first year. But remember, awful franchise at that point when they hired McVay. Most important player by far, but he was only 3 years into his career. He was principled enough to say, no, I'm not returning when you think I'm going to return. I'm sort of serious about this. And it turned out he got his deal. He should. But the point of the matter is, if Trent is really, really, really principled about this, he's got to at least miss week one.
Mm-hmm. All right. So apparently, Jay told Albert Breer that I guess after the third preseason game, he's going to go public with his starting quarterback. How do you think it shakes out?
I've thought all along, wrote a column for thefandc.com last week that's still up. People can check it out, that it would be Case Keenum. And that was before Thursday night's preseason game. That was right after Colt McCoy's latest injury. But that's the number one reason for me. I don't think Haskins really has any legitimate chance, if I'm being honest. I didn't think that before Thursday. I certainly don't think that now. I don't know how in the world, in a make or break, not a development year, not a sacrificial year, I don't know how in the world you can go into a season thinking Colt McCoy is going to last more than a game, more than a couple of quarters, more than a couple of series, because he has shown unfortunately, no ability to do so. And I like Colt McCoy. This is not anti-Colt McCoy. He just hasn't shown an ability to stay healthy, unfortunately, to give himself the fairest shot. And everyone that's been down there talks about how Colt has, you know, zip balls in and made terrible throws and terrible decisions, and he just hasn't looked right. Well, that's all part of the issue. That's all part of the issue, and that's without being able to touch the quarterback.
So,
like, he hasn't been hit.
Right.
What happens when he starts getting hit and sacked?
So is it going to be Case 1, Colt 2, and then Haskins doesn't even dress on Sunday?
That's what I suspected in the column last week, EB.
Yeah.
That Haskins is not even active on game day.
Right.
Again, if there's an iffy injury issue with Case or Colt, you know, then certainly there's the ability to have three up on the 46 game day. But my suspicion, and again, this is just my suspicion, is that Haskins will not even be dressed on game day for the first couple of weeks, or the first week at least.
Right. All right. Great stuff. Thank you, Russell.
Thank you, fellas. Appreciate it. Have a good morning.
Thank you, Rooster.
Thank you.
Chris Russell. Talk to you soon.
Mm-hmm. Would that be a huge disappointment for you as a Redskins fan if Haskins wasn't dressing?
No.
Or would you hope, hey, we drafted him 15. I'd like to see him.
Early,
I'd like to see him at least active.
You're taking the long view on him,
yeah.
Which
no.
I don't think is a terrible thing to do at this point.
I kind of agree with Portis or in Theismann. I'd just sit him the whole year. Let him groom. Let him learn. Why throw him to the Wolves?
Right.
Let's let him learn.
The best way to learn is by experience.
I don't know. Steve McNair worked out okay. Didn't play that first year.
Okay. But modern day now,
Aaron Rodgers.
Almost all the
Aaron
guys
Rodgers
drafted
sat
in the
for
first
several
round.
Years. I know. But that's
a Hall of Famer.
That's just because of.
Aaron Rodgers behind a Hall of Famer. It's way different.
It's a little bit different now, too.
It is different the way that it's treated, but that doesn't mean it's correct.
That's true, but seems to me that
I don't see why in 4 weeks he'll be any better than he is now.
Might not, but playing the whole year may help, and playing as much of the year may help. Gives you experience.
Could I don't know how going out there and say throwing 10 touchdowns and 18 picks is going to help him. But maybe it will.
Man, Sam Darnold had a bunch of starts last year, right?
I hate my Haskins
people raving
numbers
about him now.
My Haskins prediction numbers.
They're super
high.
They're
all going to be wrong. Everybody's going to be wrong.
Yep.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We have this story about Mia Khalifa.
Yeah.
Who is a local. Did she go to Quince Orchard High School?
I think she did, yeah.
I think she went to the same high school my daughter graduated from.
For a period of time.
Did she go to the University of Maryland? Is she a Terp?
Not sure.
I think she may be a Terp.
I'm not sure. I don't know.
Don't want to claim her.
Yeah, I don't know.
We'll
she seems like a nice enough girl, but she had a brief tenure there in the adult entertainment world there. I think she claims she only worked 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she was pretty prolific. And
she did a lot of scenes.
She did a ton of scenes.
Right.
And she's claiming, the story is, why you know it's popular right now, is she did an interview where she claimed that even though she's like the number one or two or top five all time like searched girl on Pornhub, she only made a total of $12,000 in her brief 3 month career
That's
in the
brutal.
Adult industry. Of course, she got famous because in one of her scenes, she wore one of those, what do they call them, a hijab? Is that what
hijab.
You call it? Yeah. Hijab, I don't know what you call it. The headgear, whatever, and ISIS threatened to kill her.
Right.
And
yeah, you
that
don't want
instantly
that.
Blew her up.
That's
she
the
said,
notoriety you don't want.
She went from 400 followers on Instagram to like 200K in a span of 3 days, and then it just kept snowballing. I looked her up right now on Instagram.
Yeah.
Just 16 million followers
wow.
on Instagram. She had a 3 month tenure in the adult industry. And if you look at like the ratings of things that are most watched and everything.
Yeah.
I think she's top five. She might be number two.
Did you ever see
her? In 2018. I've seen her. Of course I've seen her because, you
was
know,
she good?
Google her name. I mean,
no,
sure.
No. Have you seen her in her movies?
Yeah. I've Googled her. Of course. Of course I have. That's
I guess
not my
that
thing.
Was a stupid question.
No, I don't watch like traditional, like, let's look up a porn star and like, watch their porn.
Right.
You know me. I like,
yeah,
the,
you're way too
I like the dimly lit amateur. I don't want to get too gross, but that's my thing. But anyway, I've looked her up, and she's done a ton of movies, but she says it's the great misnomer is that she had this fantastic porn career that made her millions. She claims she made a total of $12,000 in the industry.
Well, how does Lisa Ann claim that she's made a good chunk of money in the industry?
Well, maybe Lisa Ann has produced films. You know, I don't know.
Maybe she signed a better deal.
She
I don't
has,
know.
Lisa Ann has produced and directed her own
yeah.
films.
Look
yeah.
at that.
Yeah, Lisa
think,
Ann expert.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Mia was just hired gun and did, you know, 20 scenes or whatever the heck she did and was in and out.
Yeah, but isn't that her fault, though?
Sure.
The fact that
she's not even
the fact that she's not capitalizing on her porno
well,
fame.
I think she is. She's got 16 million followers on Instagram. That's a career right there. Just on social media.
She can be an influencer.
Yep. They say you need 10,000 to be an influencer.
Right.
She's got 16 million followers on Instagram. All she has to do is post, you know, some place where she gets her nails done.
Yeah, she gets ads. Ad dollars on Instagram.
She's
make
making
money.
She's probably making a killing. She and her boyfriend look like they have a YouTube channel where they do a vlog. I'm just looking this up during the break. They've got like 90,000 subscribers. You know how valuable that is?
I'm sure it's very valuable.
This girl's making a boatload
she's
of cash.
She's killing it.
She's killing it.
So she's not angry about the pay?
She says she wants to be clear. She was never promised millions. She said, I never expected it. She just wants to clarify common misconceptions was that she was in the industry for a long time and she made a boatload of cash. She says it's still mind-boggling to her that 5 years after leaving the industry, people, A, still think she performs, and she's as highly ranked as she is on all the searches.
Well, if you watch the Netflix documentary on the porno industry, yes, I have watched that.
Yeah, I haven't. But
what they do is they scout all these girls, and then they fly them down to Florida, basically.
Yeah.
And they all live in this, like, flop house together,
mm-hmm.
where there's, like, five different bedrooms.
Flops?
Five different bedrooms, and they all put them in there.
Yeah.
And then they just basically run through the girls and
knock out a bunch of scenes.
Knock out a bunch of scenes for 3 weeks.
They drive them to the Brazzers headquarters.
And then they just they recruit new girls, and then they have a whole new session with them.
Yeah.
By the way, JP, Mia Khalifa went to UTEP.
Okay, she didn't go to Maryland.
She's not a Terp.
I thought she was like a Wizards fan, right?
Well, she's trying to parlay this into a sport. They say she's a sports commentator.
Right.
Now, I've never seen her commentate on anything.
Right.
I know that she likes to go to games.
She's a mega Caps fan.
I know she likes
huge
to go to games
fan.
And wears her OV jersey or whatever. She goes to Wizards games and wears her John Wall jersey. And I think she's trying to parlay that into some sort of career. I don't know. Has anybody ever seen her really? Like, does she have a sports pod?
I don't
she
know.
And Gilbert at one point threatened to have some sort of podcast together?
Possibly. I don't know.
Honestly, dude, I'm not lying. If she walked in here and kicked me in the balls, I wouldn't know who she is.
Really?
Yeah. I don't think I could pick her out of a lineup.
So after that famous scene, she went right from the 400 to 200,000 in 3 days.
3 days. Well, now it's up to 16 million.
Right.
And she hasn't performed in 5 years.
Right.
And if you go to her Instagram, it's the first time I went to it is today. I mean, there are pictures of her, like she's like basically flaunting her boobs in like these little tops or whatever. You know, it looks like she's wearing, I don't know, negligee, you know. I don't know what you call this stuff. Some of this stuff is just, you know, where she's showing off her boobs in all the shots, but she's clothed. It's not like they're dirty shots. But you don't see a lot of obvious ads. I saw one for like some sort of place where you get your armpits taken care of if you sweat too much. But she's got 16 million followers. Do you know how valuable that is, Cakes?
Worth a lot.
Now, the Kardashians, what do they have? About like 80, 90, 100 million?
I'm still aced out of the gram. Yeah. I'm too lazy to get back on the
way. They make like a million a post.
Yeah. And kind of an offshoot of this is the gaming industry and the gamers who are making tons of money for putting out videos.
Right.
Of themselves, like live gaming, mm-hmm. commenting while
Twitch.
They're playing Fortnite, things like that. I learned a new term yesterday reading a story about one of these Fortnite players. It might have been the guy that won the Fortnite World Cup that was like 16 years old and won
$3 million.
$3 million.
Yep.
That he was swatted. Do you know what this is?
Yes.
I've heard of that.
I had never heard that term.
Travis looking at you with contempt.
Oh, come on. The swatting's been around
What year is this?
It's been around for years. It was big years ago.
No. Well, the kid got swatted. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. Come on, Drabby. We should not know what swatted means.
Yes,
do you know what it means?
No, we shouldn't.
I do.
Right. Okay, so two out of
the
four.
But Drabby's acting like he's stupid for not knowing what swatted means.
It's all of a sudden a SWAT team descends upon him.
Right.
And well, there are all these guys like outside
someone
the kid's
has called
house.
In like
he's
a playing, fake burglary
he's
or something.
Playing like video games, and all of a sudden the SWAT team shows up with guns and knocking down doors and all this stuff.
It's something that's
a prank.
It's a prank.
Oh, it's a prank.
It's something that like has plagued celebrities for years.
Okay, sorry,
I've never heard of that.
Yeah. We've done maybe a dozen stories about swatting.
Definitely
on the show.
Done swatting stories on
well,
the show.
Yeah,
I'll definitely
attention.
Take the under on a dozen.
Maybe
I don't
not
pay
a dozen, but
I have no idea.
Several.
It's just something that happens with like a lot of the young Hollywood stars. They get swatted.
I said, fine. Make fun of me. I didn't know the term.
Yeah.
I'm now, Jason.
That's what jumped out at you, though, about the Fortnite guy?
Yeah, that it's getting to the point that these people just, they go on YouTube and all that sort of stuff. And they, I mean, who are these? They're 15-year-old kids playing a game and they're getting swatted. You're saying it happens with celebrities all the time. I'm not aware.
No. It's, you know, whatever. I think there was a crime ring also maybe affiliated with some of the swatting.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
But. You know what? Drab T-shirts day has been going so poorly, we should just SWAT him at his house.
It shows how much they listen to the EP.
Yeah, they don't listen.
Well, that is
what's
true.
What's going wrong with Drab T-shirts day?
Well, his day started off terribly because he made, and this is what he said, he made the world's worst smoothie for breakfast this morning. And you know what? From the ingredients, it sounds like the world's worst smoothie.
I'm
what,
the only person in the world
now?
That can.
What are you doing?
I'm a fat tub who went to Whole Foods last night. Probably spent $80 on smoothie crap. Mm. Woke up early this morning. Said, "All right, today's the day. Crack my knuckles.
All right.
We're going to do this." Went downstairs. Made somehow the most disgusting smoothie in the world.
Right.
I hear everyone's putting avocados in their smoothies, so I did that.
Right.
You put a whole avocado.
I didn't
you
know
put
it was
like
a,
one or two slices.
Supposed to put
there.
Like a little tiny bit.
Yeah.
I grabbed a fistful of spinach.
Yeah. Gross.
Sounds awful.
And I put some berries in there that all it did was turn the thing purple.
Yeah.
It didn't taste like berries at all.
Yeah.
And I forgot the banana.
Yeah.
It was an avocado smoothie.
Well, did you even like Google how to make a smoothie? Or
I did it last night.
I mean, and by the way, are smoothies, is that really a great way to like lose weight? Smoothies typically are sweet.
No, not necessarily. I'm working out. I just been eating sugary cereals every morning. They want to do that.
Yeah, you got to stop with that. What is that?
Lazy.
Because it's good.
Yeah, they taste delicious.
Yeah, I mean,
that's
I like
what
them
it
too,
is.
But I mean, but a smoothie, if you want to lose weight, you don't. The smoothie is just a joke. That's just glorified.
No, it might not be to lose weight, but it's like a.
No, it's feel better.
Instead of breakfast, yeah. You have a smoothie.
Yeah, it's high protein.
But right. He made the world's worst.
You put a little
morning.
Peanut butter in it.
I've had a few homemade smoothies too. I'm not a fan.
I'd rather have bacon and eggs.
I'm a fan of our Friday deliveries. Those smoothies are fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. Tropical smoothie, they know how to do it.
Yes. Well, I like their food.
They have great food, too.
Yeah.
Like them both.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like their wraps.
That T-shirt smoothies, can take less than.
Smoothies are too time-consuming, though. It takes forever to make them.
That's a big pain in the ass. So what are you going on, like a liquid diet now?
No, not that. Here's what's really going on.
$80?
I sit in here with Valdez all day. Yeah. Well, all he does is flex and talk about his...
This is Matt Valdez.
His drinks during his workouts. He doesn't have a pre-workout drink or a post-workout. He's now pounding. He has body dysmorphia so bad that all he's doing is thinking about his body, looking at it in the mirror, and thinking about his next workout drink. Right. So now he's slamming drinks in the middle of his workout and telling us about it, how big and all his gains he's making. And it's making Awad and I feel terrible. Yesterday, he berated Awad and told him how small his shoulders were.
Well, that's a daily pursuit.
Well, his shoulders do look like bird shoulders.
Yeah. They
well,
think
that's
I need
a joint on your shirt.
Yeah, they think I need a new type of shirt and like an XL on the bottom right. And
you know
L
what?
On top.
Yeah. Don't feel bad. Right. Don't feel bad.
His shirt looks like a triangle.
Like an untuck it. You know how they came up with like a special yeah. type of shirt for donks? You need a special one for narrow shoulders.
Yeah. Don't feel bad because he's turning into Hank Haney in there and getting all jacked. Right. It's okay. You guys don't need to follow suit.
So what, Valdez is into like...
Hank
what?
Haney or Lee Haney? I'm sorry. Haney my body golfers. Yes. Golfers mixed up.
So hold on. Valdez is...
I knew that. I didn't realize that it was tilting drab so much.
What, his
that
my, protein
that my bicep,
shake?
My biceps were tilting him.
It's not a protein
him.
Shake.
What, he I have a workout drink.
Substance
I have a work
you know, like a pre-workout. There are these
I have
drinks.
I have an intro workout drink. I was telling him about.
Intro.
Have you ever heard of that?
Workout.
I've actually never heard it. I've heard of pre-workouts.
Not a pre-workout drink. Post-workout.
I have an intro.
He worked out. He said for 2 hours yesterday, just grinding the weights.
Right.
He's got a wife at home sitting there by himself, yeah, by herself, yeah, because yeah. he won't go home and spend time with her because all he cares about is how he looks, yeah, like, no. what he looks like in the mirror.
Right.
What do you care?
Because he's making me feel bad in here.
Right. You know what? No, you know what? The Wendy's appearance on Saturday, what? I had a lister come up to me and say, "Man, you are really jacked." That made me feel silly.
But
I immediately went on Amazon and got more steroids.
I think what's really going on.
I need more protein.
Is Drabby had that big Owen Dukes thing, right? The roast, and then, yeah. and they brought out that big picture of yeah. you and your boobs and everything.
Worst
really,
moment of my life.
That's what really tilted you.
I haven't stopped thinking
about
it.
It's been a downward spiral ever since.
So what is the painting based on? There's a photo of you that's floating
There's
around?
A doctored photo that's floating around of me that makes me look like I have giant man boobs and extremely bald. And Duke's commissioned a painting by our friend Dorsey.
Right.
And put it my face and body on Buffalo Bill.
Right.
When he's doing the
he's doing the tuck.
He's doing the Justin right. tuck.
He's not untucking yeah. it. He's doing right. the Justin. It.
And so that tuck. Secretly is why you went out and you bought smoothie
you're probably
ingredients.
Right. Yeah.
But I'm telling
amateur
you,
therapist.
That's yeah, not the it. Way to lose weight. You freaking smoothies.
I need to start feeling better about myself.
All right.
He needs a self-esteem
If
boost.
You're going to do it, at least Google on how to make a good one. You just went on what you heard. Some people are putting avocados in there.
That's why I'm in a bad mood today.
He tries new things all the time.
Do you have a silly blender? Do you have one of those silly
things? You have a ninja or a NutriBullet?
I got a ninja.
You got a ninja?
Let me tell you, Eric. I'm always looking for the easy way out. You've known this about yeah. me forever. Right. Hard work and drab do not go together.
Right. Then I tilted him by changing the email without letting him know about it. It's a
simple
big
protocol.
Mess.
Why don't you just do the basic thing, which is calories in and then burn a certain amount and you'll be fine. You'll lose weight.
Because I don't want to track my calories.
Yeah, you want the easy way. You just want a magic formula.
Exactly.
Right. Do a push-up every now and then.
It's not going to help.
It would help if he actually
Drab used to do it.
I'm sure he could do some push-ups, but he's got fat. He's got to lose the fat.
Okay, but he's worried about Valdez being jacked. You gotta.
He's getting workout shamed every day.
Well, he doesn't understand that I've been working out or lifting since I was 16. Yeah. So I kind of have a leg up on him.
Yeah. Well, plus also, Valdez is like ordering. Are you ordering the Nugenics, the testosterone, and everything else?
Yeah, me and Frank Thomas.
Yeah, you're putting money in Frank Thomas's pocket.
Yeah, Nugenics for real.
If he's ordering a million things,
joke. Yeah, he's doing the amino acids and all that. Yeah. stuff.
Drab also hates the fact that Valdez always says IJ. Is it IJS?
Yes, yeah. correct.
It's just sports.
Yeah.
But
secretly obsessed.
During the show, he is obsessed with the Ravens. Right. That's all he talks about.
I get a little bit sized.
Yeah, right.
The revolutionary offense.
I was wearing an Orioles shirt yesterday.
He's going to be crushed if the Ravens have a bad year.
Yeah. I pointed out that Dan Orlovsky said that Lamar Jackson wasn't that sharp in his preseason debut.
Yeah.
And I thought Valdez was going to flip the table over.
All right. He was so angry.
So I was going to Hulk out
his Roy Brady.
Yeah. All my back knee was going to pop in anger.
Join us right now in studio, a guy you're going to see on NBC Sports Washington a lot because he's the new voice of the Wizards. Play-by-play voice is Justin Kutcher from NBC Sports Washington.
Him up, make him feel welcome.
Okay.
Thanks,
just
guys.
Just learning a little bit about him, where he grew up, and you have a sister that lives in the area.
I
a
do.
Brother-in-law that actually listens to the Junkies. So that's
nice.
Good.
Very cool. They are actually watching right now my two nephews. That's they're stoked about this. My brother-in-law might be the biggest Wizards fan I know.
Really?
Yeah. So I told him, I said, you're my lead researcher.
Right, you're my guy.
Yeah. I was like, anything historical, I'm coming to you.
Right. Like, how old is he?
He's in his mid-30s.
Okay, so... Yeah.
So his historical knowledge reaches back
to
Antoine Jameson and Liana. Like, that's as far back as he goes.
He doesn't go back to, like...
Dan Roundfield.
Dan Roundfield. Remember that dunk?
Oh, yeah. Bobby Dandridge.
Yeah.
No, he didn't go back that early.
I'll tell you what. Your brother-in-law might be a huge fan, but this guy right here, he's close.
Right
second.
There with him?
Close
Pretty
second.
Close. And that dope over behind the glass, not the closest one, the furthest. He's probably a bigger fan than I am, Awad.
So the ugliest of the three
still
back there.
Wizards fans here in the D.C. area. We're still here.
Yeah.
The flabbiest.
It's great to have you guys then. Thank you.
So what's this whole process been like? You know that you're replacing kind of a legend here, and that's been sort of, controversial is the right word, but it made a lot of waves. You don't want to make waves. You just want to do your job.
Yeah.
What's all that been like from your perspective?
Honestly, from my perspective, it's been surreal. Mm-hmm. I can't believe that it's actually happening. I mean, I grew up outside the New York area watching Marv Albert, Mike Breen, those guys, Ian Eagle, when he was doing the Nets and everything. And so all of a sudden it like dawned on me like, oh my gosh, like I'm actually going to be doing like this team mm-hmm. with a passionate fan base. I'm like, this is going to be awesome. As far as replacing Buck, I mean, I know that there's been uproar and I totally get it. I understand it. Heck, my brother-in-law said to me, he goes, if it wasn't you, I'd be really ticked.
He'd probably hate you.
Yeah,
if it wasn't you, he would hate
yes.
you.
Yes, he's like, but now that it's you, I'm psyched.
And it's not personal. Uh-huh. It's just that, like we've talked about, Buck, he's a local legend. He's an icon.
You have an allegiance.
Yeah.
And that voice becomes so familiar.
Right.
And the calls become so familiar that it's just part of your lexicon. It's part of what you are and what you're doing. And so I understand it. I understand if people are like, oh, I hate this guy. I hate him. I can't stand him. I can't believe we got rid of him for this guy. I know it's going to happen. I'm okay with it. I'm just going to go and call the games, have fun with Drew, have fun with Karan, have fun with Chris. And hopefully over time, people are like, you know what? These guys, they're fun. Like, it's a good listen. And
so,
it'll take time.
Explain to people sort of how you got here then. So what was your deal? Where'd you go to school? I know you worked with Fox Sports. You've worked at ESPN. Kind of give us your background.
Yeah. So how far do you want me to go back?
Well,
I was born May 22nd.
Right?
I did. I went to BU. As a matter of fact, Chris Miller, we were just talking last night. He worked in Cleveland with my mentor at BU, who was a couple years ahead of me. He was a sports director. Then I became the sports director there. But I went from BU to broadcasting in the Cape Cod League for a summer. Cape Cod, moved out to Portland, Oregon, broadcasting minor league baseball, to Sioux Falls, South Dakota, to Erie, Pennsylvania, and then to New York. And I got really lucky because I had some awesome internships. I ended up meeting Joe Buck, doing stats for him. He's been my mentor ever since. Mm-hmm. And couldn't imagine a better mentor. I worked the postseason for 6-7 years while I was in college, after college. He did the intro to my resume tape
Very
in 2003.
Cool. So what do you do when you work for Buck and you're interning and you're learning the biz? What exactly are you doing?
So I'm doing stats. So basically what would happen was in the Cape Cod League, I was broadcasting for the Hyannis Mets, and we had no lights. So our Friday night games were at 5 o'clock. We'd be done by 7:30. I'd get in my car, drive to my parents' house in Connecticut, say hi to them, go to sleep, wake up at 6, drive down to Yankee Stadium or Shea Stadium, get in the truck, work for 3 hours, go pick up Joe at the hotel, and then bring him back. And for the longest time...
You were just driving him.
I would just drive him, and then during the game, I'd help do stats.
And then during the postseason, I'd be in the booth with his lead researcher and statistician, and I'd give him tips. And the one tip they always keep on referencing or referring to, at the old Yankee Stadium, the bat that was on the flagpole, everyone always thought the wind blew out where the barrel was. Don Mattingly always said, because I was a diehard Yankee fan watching the Yankees all the time, he said, no, it's where the handle of the bat is facing. That's where the wind is actually blowing out to. And so I said that to Joe, and he goes, Mattingly said it? And I go, yeah. The next inning, home run out to left field where the handle was, and he referenced it, and he was like, yes.
Oh, that's funny.
And so he's awesome. And having that opportunity, so I went to ESPN for about 4+ years, and then
What'd you do at ESPN?
Oh, gosh, everything. College baseball, college basketball, high school basketball, softball, hockey, volleyball.
Did you ever do any of the Sports Center hosting, any of that? Was that something you wanted to do?
Not Sports Center. I did like ESPNU hosting.
Right.
But my passion was always play-by-play.
So that's where you knew.
Yeah.
You were
going. And when I moved down to Charlotte, they said, hey, if you're not doing games, we'll have you come in studio. And so I ended up hosting like 50 shows or something like that. And it was great. It was a great experience. I love doing it. I just know that for me, like, I played ball my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And when I quit and I went to college, I missed it. Mm-hmm. And doing play-by-play gave me that fix again. Like, my first game ever was a BU Hofstra game. Speedy Claxton was a stud for Hofstra. Mm-hmm. Jay Wright was their coach, now the coach at Villanova. And I had literally showed up at the studio to engineer the game, and the sports director, he's like, jump on the tee. You've got to do the game. The analyst didn't show up.
Wow.
And I
That's
was like,
pressure.
I was like, all right. And I had just finished playing. I thought about potentially walking on at BU. So I get out there and I felt like I was playing again. I saw like the 1-3-1. I saw 2-3 zone. I was like, you got to move this guy here and do this. And I'm like, done. This is what I'm doing. Like, I've got to be a play-by-play guy, because that was so much fun. I felt like I was back on the floor.
Right.
So,
very cool.
And so though you've done all the sports, hoops was the number one thing you wanted.
Hoops and baseball, those two. I've always said, when it comes to basketball, when it comes to baseball, it never, ever feels like work, because I played so much of it. I've called so much of it. In basketball, give me a roster. Give me just the stats. I'll go call the game.
So I asked you before we jumped on air about this Wizards team that you're recovering. Who's the second best player? Obviously, John Wall's not going to play this year,
right,
or he might at the end of the year, but likely not going to play this season. You've got Bradley Beal. Unbelievable two guard, but who's the second best player right now?
If healthy, I think you're going to say Isaiah Thomas, but that's a big if.
Yeah.
I'm really high on Hachimura. I saw him play last year in college. We had Gonzaga against Creighton when Gonzaga was number one coming off the Maui win. And he was the best player I personally saw in college last year. He's awesome. And like I've said, I've gone on record, I think he'll average between 15 and 17 points per game, 7 rebounds a game, 3 assists per game. Like, I think those will be like legit numbers for him. And he's such a good guy that I think the fans here are going to fall in love with him. So I think when, put it this way, when the Wizards drafted him and I didn't know I had the job, I was like, this is a great, great pick. And then to get Admiral Schofield
later.
I mean, both. They're not the one and done guys. They have some maturity about them. They have an all around game about them. I love it. I don't think we need all the one and done guys in the NBA, because it takes 2 or 3 years for them to mature and turn into what you're hoping for. I think these guys can produce right away.
Yeah, we had Schofield on the show.
Fantastic.
Like you said, mature.
Yeah.
A worker.
Coachable.
You see how he improved every season. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we're rooting for him.
The question is, at small forward, does Troy Brown start? That's the question. Or is someone else going to – what are they going to do with Rui? Are they going to start Rui and Bertans? What will they do at forward?
I think Brown's going to get a lot of playing time. You saw that
I think he will.
This past season.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's going to get a lot of playing time. I think Rui's going to be at the four.
Yeah.
A mobile four. He can shoot the three in college. I don't know about shooting the NBA three as of right now, but I think with his work ethic – He'll stretch. But what I love about Rui is you can post him up. He's long. Like, they list him at like 6'8", 6'9". He looks like he's 7 feet.
I was going to say, he looks like he's 6'11".
Yeah. I mean, his arms, his wingspan, it's huge. And he just plays under control. So somehow I don't know. I see it. Hmm. I see it fitting pretty well.
When is Bradley Beal going to sign the extension? Because he'd be kind of crazy not to. I mean, that's $100 million on top of what he's making. It turns out to be a 155 or something like that. I mean, cakes.
It's a nice luncher.
$100 million.
Just have it sitting on his office table.
I mean, he saw what happened to his boy, John Wall.
Yeah.
I mean, that could happen to anybody. I'm going, all right, how quickly can I sign
it? Yeah, but he also saw what happened to Durant. Yeah.
That's true. That is true.
And, I mean, I know he's not Durant.
It's tough for him to turn down a $100 million extension.
It is. I mean, I'd love to see him sign it. I want to see him around. I covered him in high school.
Yeah.
And when I saw him in high school, I was like, this dude's a stud.
Hmm.
I mean, I saw him go, like, he was the same year as Austin Rivers, all you guys know it. And Austin Rivers was rated higher. And the guy I was working with was the one doing the rankings. And as soon as I saw Beal play, I said, why is Austin rated better. Above? And he goes, what do you mean? I go, he's a better shooter. He's more athletic, can play defense. I'm like, he's the better player.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, well, he's like, Austin's got unlimited range. I'm like, yeah, but he makes it like 10% of the time.
Right.
I'm like, this dude can shoot. His form is perfect. I was like, I like this kid. So when he went to Florida, I was like, this dude's a stud. Yeah.
Do you get any inside look at these guys like working out anything? Are you getting any inside word like on Thomas's health?
Not yet. I have not. Once preseason starts, once training camp starts, I'll go there.
And how far away are we from all that?
We're
month and a half.
Yeah, I mean it's end
Six
of September
weeks or so.
Yeah,
hmm.
Yeah.
It'll be here before you know it. Yeah.
Like I said, Cakes and I are going to be at the Caps Media Day on skates, embarrassing ourselves
early September
in like a couple of weeks,
3.5 weeks.
Hockey season's going to start, then NBA. Everything's going to be.
I mean,
rolling.
College football starts in 11 days.
Oh, I've got my first game August 30th.
So you're still doing all that? You're not just doing just.
Are you doing
Wizards?
That for Fox?
Yeah. Yeah.
Who are you doing?
So that game is Oklahoma State at Oregon State on that Friday night.
Oh, a lot of points. No defense can be played in that game. Play the over, all right?
You didn't mention football.
Yet.
Do you love doing the football?
I do. Yeah. I mean, football is more of a production.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, you've got your spotter, you've got your stats guy, and then, of course, I can't tell you what defense they're playing. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll work a game and we'll watch film, and my analyst will be like, you see this? I go, honestly, no.
Yeah.
I go, you know what I see? I see if the quarterback's under center and shotgun,
right?
Who's the running back, where the wide receivers, and where is the ball?
Yeah.
I hate doing teams that run the triple option.
Right.
Hate it. So I don't see all that. So that's where I'm really relying upon the analyst to be like, yeah, this is why he missed that. I'm like, yeah, of course. They were in the cover too right there.
Yeah.
Who was your analyst last year for Fox?
Petros Papadakis and DeMarco Murray.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So Justin Kutcher's with us, the new play-by-play voice of the Wizards on NBC Sports Washington. Yesterday, I saw a little of NBC Sports Washington's coverage of the schedule release and kind of found it funny. You play the same teams every year, but it is kind of interesting. The teams change. So the big deal is, well, when is this team coming to town? When are the mm-hmm. Lakers coming? When are the Clippers coming? I think they open with the Rockets, right?
Yeah, the home Rockets, openers against the Rockets.
That's October 30th.
The Rockets are going to be an interesting team because now it's not Chris Paul with James Harden. It's Russell Westbrook and James Harden.
So that
together.
Means there's going to be 8,000 people in the building wearing Rockets jerseys, and it's going to drive me crazy.
But JK, I'll say this, and you know this. There are certain nights where I don't care how good the NBA team is, they just don't feel like playing.
No doubt.
And a team like Houston, okay, on paper, they're so much better than the Wizards, but I'm never surprised if the Wizards beat a really good team on a random Wednesday night. Now, that's the home opener, so maybe, you know, there's a different result. But if it's December, January, we saw so many times last year where a really good team went into a dog team and lost.
I mean, I've lived in Charlotte the past 9 years,
yeah, you know,
and I'll go to a Hornets game, and when I first started going to the Bobcats games, that's what they were. You know, you went for who was the visiting team coming in.
Right. You mean you didn't go for Bismack Biyombo? You weren't going to buying a ticket to go see him play?
Is he still in the league?
He's still in
the
league.
He's still cashing checks.
He's making, I believe, $17 million.
Yeah, he's making a lot of money.
That's unbelievable.
It's kind of scary, but no, I was not going to see Bismack play. And so you'd go to a game, and all of a sudden they'd win. You're like, how did that happen?
Right.
And mm-hmm. and that's it. Just some nights, somebody's going to play down to the level of the competition, and if you can take advantage of it, go for it.
All right. I mean, there were teams clearly trying to tank for the for Zion, and they were still beating teams that they should. They had no business beating. It's nuts.
So give me the power structure sort of the league now with all of
the Lakers.
I'm not even thinking about it.
Lakers,
we're putting
Clippers,
the Lakers right
I,
up there.
I put the Clippers over the Lakers.
Right, but I'm just saying that the Lakers, the Clippers, and the Rockets in the West, and Golden State's still going to be decent.
Utah's going to be good.
Yeah.
Yeah, Utah's going to be good. Denver's going to be good out there.
Portland.
I think, honestly, I'm very curious to see how this dynamic works with LeBron and Anthony Davis, because anytime LeBron has played with a great big man, he's made them a spot-up shooter. Mm. If you think back to when he was in Miami, Chris Bosh, he was a top five, top seven player when they got him. He became a spot-up shooter. When he went to Cleveland, he got Kevin Love. He became a spot-up shooter. Is he going to do that at this stage of his career to Anthony Davis? If he does it, AD's there for 1 year and gone.
Right. Hmm.
It's going to be really interesting to see.
I was going to say, they better let AD do whatever he wants.
Yes. Right. Otherwise, he will be one and done there.
But they also have Cousins, too. Don't they have DeMarcus Cousins?
Yeah.
So they got AD and Cousins.
In the East, it's the Sixers, right? Sixers have added...
Milwaukee, Indiana. Indiana made some good moves. My prediction has been that I think that Milwaukee is going to somehow get Chris Paul. And I think that's how they're going to get the power in the East. Hmm. And they have a chance. If they get Chris Paul this year, I think Milwaukee wins the NBA championship.
Do you see that as like a mid-season thing?
It could be mid-season. It could be even before the season starts. But I think...
have you heard scuttle on that? Or that's just you speculating?
So when that trade went down, when OKC traded Westbrook, I thought to myself, okay, it doesn't make sense to keep his salary in OKC. What's the best fit for him? And people thought maybe San Antonio. I think that if he has the chance to win in the teams that he can mesh with, you put him with Giannis, and all of a sudden, if you can keep him, Giannis, and Middleton together, that becomes a powerhouse. And you had that veteran leadership who can take the pressure off Giannis to win it.
So with the Wizards, we were talking about this a few months ago, I guess. The talk was, do you completely restart and trade Bradley Beal, or do you keep Bradley Beal and build around him? It seems like they've chosen the path of building around Bradley Beal and hoping that John Wall returns to form. How do you see it working out for Scott Brooks, who took over a team that was competitive, a playoff team that went into the second round, game seven, his first year,
won 49
and now all
games.
Of a sudden, right now, all of a sudden, he's got a team that's in the rebuilding phase.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, the John Wall injury played a huge impact, right? If you've got Wall and Beal in that backcourt, that's one of the top probably three backcourts in all the NBA. Maybe it's number two behind Clay and Steph. Right now, it's tough to say. I mean, what can you get for Beal if he doesn't sign the extension? And he's going into a walk year. How much would you get for him? For my sake, I hope they keep him because I want to see him play. I love watching him play. It's going to be one of those decisions that they may have to figure out. You know, can you have both he and John Wall signed to max deals, and how can you build around those? But I will say this: I think what Tommy Shepard did when he was the interim GM, and now that he is the GM. I expect them to do the smart move and do good things. I mean, I was impressed with the draft, like I said before. I think, you know, I was impressed with the Isaiah Thomas signing. I actually thanked him for that. I said, now I won't feel as short around everybody else. I think he's done some good things, and I think we'll see more of that going forward.
You know, you're crazy busy because you're not just doing the Wizards. We talked a little bit about this, some on the air, but a lot of it off the air. Tell the people that are listening your schedule. How many days have you been at home, or will you be at home this month?
Two.
2 days. Right? So this is not a guy who's just going to sit there
and call
the Wizards
game. Yeah, yeah. I'm very pillow specific. Every time we can stay at a fancy, we just stayed at a really nice spot in Richmond.
Yeah.
Really nice spot. And they were big, fat pillows. I just couldn't
fluffy. Were they soft or no?
They were soft. They were fluffy, but just the size of it was too much. Yeah. I just like, I don't know. I'm very.
I do not travel with a pillow.
You know, Buck was kind of crazy. I used to always hear legendary stories about Buck traveling. Have you heard about the stories about the hotel rooms and all that?
Yes,
you have
idiosyncrasies
like that?
Yeah, I don't.
You just show up,
he's
do
still
your gig.
Young.
Honestly,
yeah.
For me, it's like I'm not a germaphobe.
Yeah.
I travel too much. Like, it's if I were a germaphobe, I think I'd go crazy.
Tell people, like, sort of, just give this week, like, where are you? Because, like, you're somewhere
every day.
Okay,
so I'll fly back to Charlotte tonight. Tomorrow I fly to Atlanta. I do the Falcons game Thursday night against the Jets. Friday morning I'll fly to Anaheim. Friday morning I'll fly to San Francisco. I've got Astros at A's on Saturday. I'll take the red eye home, get in the car, drive to Charleston for my parents' wedding anniversary.
Nice.
Congrats. Have dinner with them, and then drive back to Charlotte. The next day, fly to Atlanta. Do the Falcons game there Thursday, fly home Friday, home Saturday, Sunday, Monday, fly back out to Anaheim. I've got Rangers, Angels on that Tuesday. Wednesday, fly to Jacksonville. I've got Falcons, Jaguars Thursday. Friday morning, fly to Portland, Oregon, get a car, go to Corvallis, and I have Oklahoma State at Oregon State that night.
Do you have a personal assistant? I mean, how do you keep track of all this?
You just know this off the top of your head.
Yeah.
And what happens if, like, a flight gets canceled? You're doomed. Has that happened? You've missed gigs?
Knock on wood.
You haven't yet?
I had the closest call I had was last year. I had a game at Creighton. And then the
easy
next day,
spot to get to, right?
From Charlotte, it actually is direct
really?
Flight. Yeah,
really? Wow.
So I'm like, I'm good. The next day, I've got a game at Wake Forest, and my flight, it was going to be like a 6 or 7 a.m. flight out of Omaha, gets canceled. It's delayed, then canceled, and I'm like, oh my gosh. And because I fly so much, obviously I'm like the highest status, and
right.
I'm like, can you guys get me on a different flight? So I call my producer and I said, hey, here's the deal, I'm gonna get there, but I might not get there until about 30 minutes before we go on the air.
Okay.
And I was like, but I will get there. So sure enough, I got home, changed my suit, got in my car, drove, showed up. I was doing the game with Corey Alexander, Virginia guy, and I see him. He's like, I thought I was going solo on this one.
Right.
We go down, do the open, come back up, do the game, left. I was home by like 10:30. I'm like, this was great. I was like, I could
What's
show up
that early
30
stuff
minutes
for?
Before.
No,
I'm like,
man, you don't
need
all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
Been saying that for years. TV way overrated. All that crap. You don't need that stuff.
They want all those production meetings.
JP
so
shows
overrated.
Up 2 minutes before the show starts. Yeah.
And the show's great.
What would they do if you had, you know, you blew a tire on the way? Would Corey Alexander have to do the play by play as well, or would they have a?
They
fill
call
in?
Up the next Justin.
No, at that point they may Corey might go solo until I showed up.
Yeah.
Yeah, or they're like, leave your car. Get an Uber and get here.
Yeah. Crazy
All right,
business.
Justin, appreciate you joining us. It's
really
Justin
nice to
Kutcher.
Meet you.
Check him out on NBC Sports Washington. He's the new voice of the Washington Wizards.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.